Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamescast, episode 334. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gast, joined by Mike Sneedy.
What's up?
Let's switch to Corey Fineside.
Oh, gosh. Yep, I'm here.
Let's switch to Tony Kokonakis.
Yo.
All right. welcome, listeners and viewers. It is post Nintendo Switch launch, post Switch.
Oh, wait, this is going to be basically the Switchcast, right?
Well, no, no. I mean, we're going to have, we can talk about some other stuff real quick. Microsoft last week announced that there was a Netflix-like service that they're bringing out. So that's kind of cool.
Oh. We'll
talk about that real quick. $9.99 a month. There's no yearly subscription option yet, which I, if they did offer it at a year, at like, you know, $80 for the year,
well,
that would
can
be
can you cool. year pay yearly for Netflix and Hulu?
No, but, you know, they do this with Xbox Live. It's, you know, I figured maybe they bundle
the two
together. Yeah,
but it's a subscription service. So.
So basically what this service is going to be 100-plus games right now available for you to download, fully download and play offline. While you have the subscription service, it has to communicate back within a certain amount of time, obviously, to make sure you still have the subscription. But for the most part, you can stay offline, you can play the full game, and they have some big game titles already attached. There's Saints Row, there's Halo 5, there's Gears of War.
Four?
I think it was, but I'm not sure. Microsoft,
don't
you gotta figure it's easier for Microsoft than the other companies, so... Mm. What's that?
Don't they select which ones are available per month, though? Like, it's not all of them available.
Things can... well, no, I think it can cycle, but everything's available to you. It just can cycle out.
Right. Well, I mean, my interpretation of the press release was that games will be rotating in and out on a monthly basis. Like, some will probably be for multiple months, but...
You figure Microsoft's will be, like,
the
a staple?
The ones no one care about.
But I think the third parties will be the ones that rotate in and out monthly. Just kind of like what Netflix does.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea.
It seems expensive.
Yeah, a bit. But if you think about it, $10 a month to play any number of games you want, that's not too bad.
Depends on what games are there.
It's true. It does remember content.
Content's
king.
Content, yeah.
Yeah. Content is king. Microsoft doesn't have much content, in my opinion, right now. So we'll see. E3 is very important to them. E3 is very important to... I think the only one that doesn't really have a lot of pressure right now is Sony. Right?
And it's kind of showing because they're not really...
I mean they would have until they had a couple good releases recently.
Dude, this, that, like, the Sony exclusives were... this year have been killing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As far as
before that, we were
critical
like,
acclaim.
Ready to say Sony's dropped the ball here, but these couple releases have helped them a little bit. It's at least pushed back the time of action for them to actually do something substantial a little bit. They still need to do something to change course, I think, a little bit, because they've been complacent in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But still, they've bought themselves some time with their exclusives lately.
Yeah, they definitely have. I mean, they're very, very, very strong. Like, Horizon, for instance. I mean, three of us are playing Horizon right now. We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I have about 10 hours into the game. Easily, because I just played I played two or three.
What level are you?
18?
Yeah. I'm like 20, level 21. Obviously, I can't do much of anything else, so I played a little more. And I was on the fence about this game, but what no one really got across beforehand is how well the, like, sort of narrative and the world fits together, kind of, like... And there's actually a lot of characters and factions you're going to want to talk to and meet. And, I mean, no one really talked about that too much covering this game, which I thought was strange because the world they built is worth exploring and the characters and
I think
the way
once you say, like, robot
matters.
Dinosaurs, like,
yeah.
That kind of stops
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
like,
I
like
that.
Okay.
I mean, and they're cool. They're better
no,
than
no.
I thought. They
robot dinosaurs.
I know.
Like,
I understand.
Robot dinosaurs.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, that was not going to sell me on the game as much. The fact that,
I just fought, like, robot saber-toothed tigers, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's like, hey, there's a game where you fight robot dinosaurs, but it has a really interesting narrative that can be applied to the real world about nuclear arms and blah, blah. Like, nobody cares. Like, it's like, what? Robot
it's
dinosaurs.
Not, like, I don't care about the real world. I just mean, like, they built a
It's funny though, because like, yeah, like selling point is robot dinosaurs, and everything after that, it's really kind of, if you're not on board with robot dinosaurs, you're probably not going to be on board with the rest of it. But they do, like you're saying, really do a great job of world building and make you want to explore what this world is, what's going on in this world. Because it's just, I mean, as you've seen in the trailers, tribal like villages and robot dinosaurs. Why and how are these things?
I mean, there's technology. Here. There's technology there. Yeah, we got robot dinosaurs. There's some pieces that you find. I mean, there's history there. So it's like trying to unravel that.
They do a good job of like, you know, leading you on to the next thing and saying like, oh, this like, what's mysteries here? And they do the heroes thing where they have a mystery or like a thing, and then it's solved, and you like move on to the next thing. It's not like this whole thing is gonna go off and then you're left hanging, because
that's the thing. Like,
can't end it.
I feel like the best way to describe like this game. Really worked in even the tutorial very well. Like, who wants to play as a kid? Nobody wants to play as a kid. No. But they do it very well with this game.
And an ugly looking kid at that.
Yeah, I'd say so. But there's some really cool twists. There's some really cool drama. The action's good. I will make the statement that I can see more flaws coming in the more you play it in terms of gameplay.
There's a few things I've noticed. The only narrative problem I have is it seems like Aloy has automatically modern sensibilities into this world where she shouldn't know things or think certain ways that she does.
Now, wait a minute, Mike. That might get explained. There's a possibility.
Yeah, but still, it's like she's like, oh, that's a power cell. I'm like, how the fuck do you know what a power cell is?
I hate when things do that, either TV shows or movies or what. Yeah. It's like, how the fuck do you know? I know that because I'm the fucking player. But like, you? How do you know that?
No, I understand that. And there might be like some there might be some weird twist where they explain that, because the way it's, I don't know. I have theories about how this thing is building. But the story itself didn't hook me for a little while until certain main events occurred. And then I was like, oh, okay, I got to figure this out now.
The proving? What happens at the proving?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it spoiler free.
I know, but that's big enough. If you haven't played the game, you don't know what.
I just finished the. I was just visiting an excavation site. If you guys know where that's at, that's where I'm.
Oh.
So, but that
was, I'm level 25, by the way.
Oh, it's you're a little further ahead.
I'm actually ahead than you. Yeah,
I've been doing a lot of the side quests. Some of them feel essential, and some don't, and they do get a little repetitive after a while. I will say that the side quests where it's like follow these tracks to wherever else you got to go, like you do that all the time. But
it's hard to do side quests.
I know.
Yeah.
But I do want to do them all before I finish the game. Like,
I'm going to do the convenient side quests where like it doesn't deter you from the path. And then that's for me. That's how I like to play these games. I don't feel like if you have a purpose, like you should be doing, you know, farming or cooking over on the side. I feel like you should be going for the purpose.
I think The thing with this game that like I thought of you, Jim, specifically, because this game is not like, you know, Final Fantasy 15, for example, where it's like your kingdom just got fucked and you're gonna run around with your bros and just like not really care.
Yeah.
Like this game doesn't have that.
No, but there is like there are points where like I have done a lot of side quests. I mean, I just have done some of the main story too, because like at certain points it doesn't make sense to stop here and find this guy's ring. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, what? I'm going here to find the great mystery of what's going on, and, oh, there's this guy's ring. Let's pick this up and bring it back to him real quick. I just don't... Why?
No, I agree. I just don't think it's... They do a good job because it's not, like, the end of the world, per se.
No,
from
what I understand, though, the game is designed where you can do these side... It's, like, you basically are free to do the side quests as you go, and you're still always free throughout the game, unlike Final Fantasy. But what this game does take off with story, where I've heard a lot of people talking about later on, they didn't do any side quests. They felt like just killing out the main missions because it just kind of made sense. Which is good. I like that.
It's good, but again, I don't know how this ends. I wonder if you could, if there's like a post game, like when you beat the story, if you can go back, or is the world completely like different, or the story's too definitive in its ending where you can't go back and do things you didn't do. So that's why, even though it doesn't make that much sense to stop and do some of the more frivolous sounding things, I want to get them mostly done before I get to the ending, just in case. Because I don't know, and I don't particularly want to look it up because I'm afraid even in describing that there might be a spoiler.
So yeah, my biggest gripe so far with this game is the way that you approach. You can just basically cycle, repeat in stealth. You know, whistle, they come over, stealth kill. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, I feel like that, it's not repetitive now, but I have this bad feeling it will by the end. Like, I'm like...
Well, then why are you playing that way?
No, I stopped. I stopped. In fact, the excavation site, I didn't play that way. I just went in.
Oh, I'm just saying, if you don't like that,
guns,
then
I went in guns ablaze in the excavation site.
I think...
But she's not very... Problem. She's not strong enough to take on that many guys. Like, it's tough.
No, you got... I was, climbing along the outside trying to snipe a bit in that situation, which worked pretty well. I liked the actual fights with most of the robots more than I thought I would, and the different like arrow types and other stuff you can use target weaknesses, although they're not necessary, which is good.
I have questions for you guys after the podcast about the arrows. I gotta get some help from you guys. But
okay. But I will say the stealth in general in this game is a little wonky.
It's a little bit too basic, right?
Like, you can't move bodies when you take them out. And
but they can see them.
Yeah, they can see them.
Yeah.
Also, once, like, one person sees you, and I'm talking about people, it makes more sense with robots, I guess. If once one sees you, they all see you. But I don't necessarily really like that. Like, once one person sees you, everyone automatically knows where you are, and they just come.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't like that part.
And the other thing that, like, because this game's really polished and it looks like a real polished game, like, but when you think of stuff like Uncharted and similar things, like, the traversal's a little wonky, too. Like, I've accidentally jumped off ledges a few times, like, rocks she has trouble clearing. There's no, like, smooth animation in between different, like, vertical things.
I've not had any issues with that part of it, but I was going to say how gorgeous the game is. Like, it is gorgeous.
I mean, it is gorgeous, but I'm just mean, like... If there's a rock and you want to jump over it, like, sometimes
you can't really tell if you can or not.
You can't tell, yeah.
No, I get that.
And there's also,
like, you basically can go everywhere in this game. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of finding out how to get there, and there's no real indication of, can I get on that area? Okay, I can, or okay, it's not going to let me. It's not really obvious.
What I found very strange is they usually have, like, these yellow markings to highlight where you can climb, but not all the time.
Yeah.
So if there was a few instances where there was ledges I could climb up that didn't have yellow markings, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was – and the other thing that I got really frustrated about the other night was lots of your pouches you need to upgrade and stuff. And it'll say like, oh – like
I feel like the resource management part of it is now part of every game, because I'm dealing with that with Zelda as well.
Yeah.
Like,
I understand that, but it says fish bones. And first of all, I had no idea how to, like, fish in this game for the longest time.
Wait, you can fish in this game?
No! you have to mark them and shoot them with an arrow from outside of water, as far as I can tell, which seems stupid. And then once you get the fish, there's only a chance it might have a fish bone in it. I got a fish, and it's just like, meat. I'm like, what the fuck? Where are my fish bones? And then I started paying attention because there's pretty specific things for, like, a lot of the pouches to get bigger ones, and it's like a crapshoot. You could kill a raccoon, and there may or may not have raccoon meat in it. And I'm like, why is it like this? There's no reason for that.
Ah, the MMO.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a drop rate.
It's a drop rate.
I've killed like 8 fish and have no fish bones.
Yeah, that is Mike. Welcome to the MMO world. That is drop rates right there. So it's more of like another longevity thing they put into a game. So. Yeah, but the game is gorgeous, and it does work very smoothly.
And it's compelling, most of all. So it's better than I thought it would be for me. I would give it a solid 9, although I'm not done with it. I'd give it a solid 9, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you, and I haven't finished it either, but I'm kind of there with you right now. So it's a very, very, very good game. So, all right, let's move into the Switch. I didn't say Switch into the Switch, see? We've done so many Switch puns, we don't need it.
We have.
I kicked the podcast off with it. So, hey, we got our Switches. 3 of us here have a Switch. One of us has not played it. I guess
I've played it. I don't know who hasn't played it.
Wait, what did you play?
Treasure Trove, the Shovel Knight.
You played Shovel Knight. I would love to hear your impressions of Treasure Trove, because I haven't gotten that yet. So, But
all right.
Well, let's talk about the system first. Let's talk hardware.
Yeah, let's get into.
So the system is out, and there's been. Let me get my notes open because I have notes. I did notes on purpose so I can like talk about my gripes and likes. So I have some complaints. Obviously, the system is having issues with the joystick sync, Joy-Con. The left Joy-Con right now is having a sync issue for me, which has actually been kind of more of a headache than anything. I went out and bought a Pro Controller, so I didn't have that problem. But to require to spend $70 to fix a problem, I'm kind of annoyed with this left Joy-Con thing. I really hope Nintendo fixes it. Now, there's issues with every launch. I've gone back and I listened to our older podcasts, and I've heard us, like, we railed the 3DS. for the eShop missing. Like, we were talking about that missing, like, when it launched.
Wasn't the 3DS, like, crap for, like, its first year?
It had two games when it launched. I think two actual games.
Was that the one where they gave you 20 games? Which one was it that they gave
that
you 20
games?
That was
the 3DS. Oh. They Nintendo launched the 3DS at $250.
Yeah, and the price was nuts.
Which was more than a Wii at that time, I think.
Yeah. And the first party games they launched with was Pilot Wings and Steel Diver. Like, the most premium. And then they launched with two fighting games. Capcom did Super Street Fighter 4. And then Koei Tecmo did Dead or Alive 4 or whatever it was, or whatever. And there are a couple other weird games, but I'm just like, that's not a compelling launch lineup. I mean, that is a Nintendo system I didn't own at launch. I waited. I was like, fuck this. I bought it, like, I think right before Kid Icarus came out, so whatever that was.
Yeah.
But
in terms of, like, in terms of hardware issues when a system launches, I would say there's always some minor stuff, like PS4. Remember, they were bricking consoles when they first came out because there was a patch that came
through. HDMI.
Yeah, the HDMI
thing
brick.
Or something.
Yep. So there was issues with that. But I'm really worried about this Joy-Con thing because I have a feeling it's hardware and not software, like firmware related.
Well, what you should do is you should either go to Corey's or have Corey bring his over to your place and just test his left Joy-Con
in the same
out,
situation. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Because the thing is, like, I before you even had issues, I wanted to test my own because I was like, I better have a fucking working unit. Even though I was getting the Pro Controller, I was like, I don't want a fucking wonky-ass unit. So, like, I literally tried at both of my apartment and my parents' house to, like, try and
fuck it up.
So, like, first of all, I'm going to turn my camera on. That's where my Switch is.
Yeah, mine's behind
it's
my
right
TV.
Directly above my Wi-Fi router. So I was like, well, this might not be the most spot, like the best spot for it, but no issues with Joy-Con. I even hid behind my couch here, like wrapped myself up in a blanket just to see if that would have any issues. No issues. I was like, all right. And then I tried it at my parents' house and no issues there either. So I was like, well, I guess I got the Joy-Con lottery. So.
There's got to be faulty antennas then in these devices. There's got to be faulty antennas. It's kinda, like, so I'm sitting on my bed right there with a blanket over my lap and my controller resting down on it. And my TV is the curved thing you see here. So the distance is not far. And the Switch is actually right behind it, right over there.
That's probably your biggest issue right there.
Behind the TV Switch.
Yeah, I think you should put it up. I think you should test it.
I know it sucks because, like, I can't put my thing in front of my TV either. Right now it's behind mine.
I'm not putting it in front of my TV. I can put it on the floor, I guess.
Well, just to test it, I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably the biggest issue that you have in there.
All right. Moving on, there's a controller sync issue. What else? That's really my biggest issue. So
didn't you want to say something about, like, the plastic and the metal? You kept talking about how metal and plastic.
Okay, so there's a couple things with the rails. I have issues of build rails. Quality concerns. I have issues with build quality concerns. So they used metal on the dock. They used plastic on the controller. So every time you slide them in, there's a wear down of plastic. It's going to happen over time, isn't it? I mean, isn't that the way it works?
Metal wins, sure.
Yeah. So it's going to be, like, eventually I have a feeling of wearing down. Like, I just have this feeling. Mm-hmm. It may not be 6 years from now, but I have this feeling it might wear down. And then they had the droppage.
On the Joy-Cons or the...
Yeah, to lock in. To lock in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I could see that.
Yeah. But the first day I had it, I went at my parents and I went to show them the Joy controllers and I kind of slid them in. And the system made the Switch sound. But they weren't actually locked yet. I didn't drop it because I was like, I picked it up and I'm like, wait, these aren't all the way down. And then they clicked. So the system is the thing that screwed me up almost by saying it made that click sound when I popped them in, but they weren't all the way clicked in yet, which was a problem. So
fake real life sound effects.
Yeah. There's been some reported issues of scratching from docks, which I'm not, I can't tell you that because I haven't had any issues. Obviously, I have a feeling.
There's a pretty funny thread on Reddit about that, and how people are like, "It's user error. If you're scratching your system, it's user error." And then the guy's like, "I'm in design, and one of our main goals is to minimize user error. Like that is part of design process." And just going back and forth. Like,
well, the thing is this: the rubber's on the front. The rubber's on the front of the dock. But you can, can't you pop the system in either way?
No.
It's USB-C.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could.
You could. And mine's backwards right now, the way it's sitting. So I have to put my system in backwards.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just the way it worked with HDMI. It made it easier to plug in that way for me.
I think I always face mine towards the back as well, actually.
Yeah, so that could be a problem because there's not rubber padding on the back. And that could be how it got scratched. So
I think people were talking about the front because I saw a lot of them took a lot of fixes, do it yourself kind of thing, was taking what came the Joy-Con grip, that foamy padding, and they just put it over the front.
No, oh, that's a good idea. But like these are like stupid fixes that may or may not happen, but I do wish Nintendo would. The one thing I really want them to address right now, as opposed to what I started with my conversation over the weekend, is the Joy-Con sync. Prior than that, we know about the save issue where you can't transfer your save data, which could be a problem for me if I have to return my system. You can't return your save. You can't move your save data to another console right now. So my 8 hours in Zelda could be a huge issue if I had to return my system. So actually, it wouldn't be a huge issue because I'm enjoying the game so much that I'll just restart. But with a better knowledge of the world, so I feel like I could do better. But then the game throws monkey wrenches. I'll get to that in a second. I mean, it's having a good launch. 80,000 units sold approximately in the UK first weekend. So just getting some positives here.
Double the Wii U, which is good.
Yeah, and I listed
less than PS4. But.
I listed but half of Xbox One and less than PS4. But it is a completely different time of the year.
Yeah.
And they also probably didn't have the stock because it's Nintendo, and let's face it, they never have enough fucking made. So a good launch in UK. It is double the Wii U, but it's more like we've said this numerous times. It's not about launch; it's about legs. So let's see what it's got later.
What I thought was interesting was I posted in Slack right before the
there's some tweets or something.
Well, so there's some tweets somebody did from the New York Times did a interview with Reggie before they got like an official thing out this week. And what were they saying?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot you tweeted that. But
yeah. Friday and Saturday sales for Switch exceeded first two-day sales in America's for any system. Second biggest would be the Wii. Notable, of course, again, because it's launching in March rather than the holidays. Zelda, the best-selling standalone title, i.e. not a bundle game like Wii Sports, in Nintendo history, even beating out Super Mario 64. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive, too, just because, like we were saying, like that Zelda has to have, like, 90% tie ratio.
Attach rate.
I mean, one of the things is already on my friends list, I have, like, twice as many people that have a Switch rather than, like, the Wii U. So at one point in the weekend, I had, like, 6 or 7 people online on my friends list. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So I just, like, go and, like, see. And it just says, everybody, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda, Legend. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I think the last time I saw that was, like, when, like, Modern Warfare 2 came out on 360, where it's just, like, everybody's playing Modern Warfare fucking 2. Like, just, you know, personal anecdote there. But, and then just tying in, so last week in the UK, Horizon, number one in sales, 2 was Zelda, 3 was, I think, GTA 5, Jim's favorite, and then at 4 was actually 1-2 Switch, and then down the line, number 7 was actually Super Bomberman R, and I was like, that's respectable. I mean,
I'm disappointed with 1-2 Switch. I brought it back. Like, I can't say I'm disappointed, but like the reviews for that game, it's not a game. I'm very bummed. I was hoping it could be a Wii Sports, but it's not.
Did you try? Sure.
Do you still think it should have been tied in?
I think it should be packed in without a doubt.
Well, did you play it?
No. I went off of like the fact that people were railing on it, and I can't justify opening a game and not being able to return it at that point if it's shit.
You know, I think it all depends on the scenario you're going to be using
it
in.
Like, I would get that game, even I only spent $30 on it, but I'd probably get it for $20 or $15. So, that's where it's my line. I lowered my line.
That's fine. I'm waiting on it. My one friend at work, she hasn't had a new video game system since, like, Wii, I think. She got a Switch and Zelda, and she got 1-2 Switch, and she said she brought it over to her family's over the weekend, and they had some fun with it, so I want to give it a fair try before I make
it. Well, I mean, if I can try it someplace, absolutely, but I'm not going to go out and buy it, so
yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
My coworker got it. He got that, Bomberman R, and Zelda.
Yeah, I have Bomberman.
It's like those three.
It's not been open yet, but it's here. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to open it right now. All I'm doing is playing Zelda.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in just a moment. So, Corey, you've played Shovel Knight on it. Now, how are you playing? Yep. You're playing portable?
I've only played portable.
I figured. Now, Tony, you've played both.
I popped the Joy-Cons. Well, hold on. I popped the Joy-Cons into the grip when I first opened it. Because that's, like, the first thing you see underneath is the grip there and then the dock and whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God, this does not feel good at all. And I was like, why does this, like, not feel right? And I couldn't think of it for the longest time. And then I realized it's because the analog stick is directly below the buttons.
Directly below
yeah,
the buttons.
Yeah, so
directly.
I'm having
that
an issue.
That is the problem.
I'm having an issue on the right Joy-Con with the analog stick because I can't really manipulate the camera well.
Because, like, look, if you look at, like, an Xbox controller, yeah, or even the Pro controller, they're offset.
Yeah,
like,
you got
it.
That's it.
Right here?
That's
it's not.
That was going to be another gripe. That was going to be another
gripe. Was that how the Wii U controller was, too? The gamepad?
No, it was directly above it, so...
It was, yeah, you were actually going down, which is even worse.
Yeah, so I remember that it was in a weird spot on that, too.
Yeah. But, like, that... Because you're just not used to that. Like, even on the PS4 controllers...
Gotta dust this off. But, yeah...
So even that's outside.
Like,
even that's outside of
it's
yeah.
Always offset. Like, they're always offset a little bit. And I think... So as soon as I put that on, I'm like, oh, this is so cramped.
This is not so bad because you can easily just go, like, you know, switch back and forth. Like, going down like that, it's so awkward. And I had the same thing for it because I was like everything else, like, I was like, oh, that's not bad. But, like, I actually tried playing Zelda with that, and I was like, no, this is weird. And I was like, it's because I can't easily move the right thumbstick as much as I want to.
You can't manipulate the camera well enough. That's
it's also because of how close it is, I think, too. Because once I put it on the Switch itself and I played it handheld mode, it was okay. I didn't mind it as much.
Yeah.
But it's just the Joy-Con grip.
Yeah,
because
you're like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
I'm having issues with it on the Switch because, like, I'm holding the system and, like, I can't get my thumb down to manipulate the camera. You have to move your hand to do it. Yeah, either way.
It's more of a claw thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so the thing is, like, I mean, I love the Pro Controller. Corey, you didn't get a Pro Controller.
No, I didn't. I don't think I'm going to play it on it. Like, I actually wasn't going to put the dock out, like, until my son got into the box and started throwing everything around. And oh my God, he loves the Switch. He doesn't even know what it is, but all he wants to do is play with it.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, because I had the box out, so he got the box and started pointing to it like and then
it starts.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny because he likes, like, he has an like, well, we have an iPad that he plays with, but then he saw that and he's like, "What is this new thing?" And it's like, so funny.
Yeah, the Pro Controller is great. It is absolutely great. I mean, it is expensive.
It is expensive,
but
I think
really
it's
good.
Well worth. Like, the way you guys talk about the Elite, I mean, I talk about, like, I would say the same thing, but obviously it's a different price tier. Like, I'd love to see an even higher, you know, like a
nice build grippy thing on the side.
Quality.
Yeah, grippy
but,
thing
like,
on the side.
But, like, it is really good. Like, it's very comfy. The battery life, I didn't have to charge all weekend. I played fucking Zelda a lot.
Yeah.
I played it a lot. Oh, man. Everything feels good. I, you know, again, though, I just wish it had a fucking microphone port on it. Like, it's so weird. it's so weird that it doesn't. Because
the worst part is, like, if the system supported Bluetooth headphones, we'd be fine. I wouldn't even care. It'd be fine.
Yeah. That was actually my second biggest gripe, other than the analog being directly below the buttons, was there's no Bluetooth audio. And I bought expensive Bluetooth headphones to use with my devices, and I would like to use them. But
I think we'll see it supported. I think it's just a matter of the compatibility.
What I was worried about before was that there was no Bluetooth radio inside it at all, which then Jim...
The Joy-Cons are Bluetooth, right? I'm wrong. Sure
they're Bluetooth. Yeah. You're the one that's telling me this.
I'm pretty certain they're Bluetooth.
So I think that... I mean, if the Joy-Cons are in the controller and they have the connection, that they're maybe not necessarily using the Bluetooth, you could do it. But I know that there's a lot of issues with multiple devices and Bluetooth. I mean, that's one of the things that we're holding these up, like the AirPods, which I'm using right now.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's...
I mean, like I said, and then you can't store your game saves on the memory card yet. The memory cards...
That sucks, yeah.
Yeah,
that's weird, because I finally got my memory card when I got back to my apartment today. I popped it in, and it's like, you know, did the update. One thing I do have to say is, you know, hopefully you guys had the same experience. The update only took, like, 1 to 2 minutes.
It was less than
which
that.
Which was... It was like... Yeah, which was...
It was boom, yeah.
Which was amazing, because...
I patched at 6 o'clock at night too, and it was like it was like 1 minute. It was great.
Yeah. Because I wasn't there for PS4 launch, so I can't speak to that day one patch, if there was one. I don't know.
I think there was a big one for them too.
I can tell you that I bought an Xbox One. I bought an Xbox One S at Christmas, and it took like fucking 3 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft ones are awful all the time.
So it's very well done with the patch. Absolutely.
But, you know, I pop it in, you know, it wants to update for the memory card thing. And then I'm going to my managed software. So, like, the thing is, I downloaded Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. I downloaded Puyo Pop Fever from the Japanese eShop because it has a free demo.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, well, I downloaded it onto the system, so let me just transfer it over to the memory card. And at least... In the 5 minutes I tried, I could not figure out a way to just go from internal storage to, you know, external memory media.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, really? Like, so I had to delete, and I made sure to just do it the demo first. I deleted the demo and then re-downloaded it, but this time it saved it
Are they like, how far behind are they on DRM games? Like, just put DRM in the game so, like, it knows that you own it. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, Microsoft and Sony both do that.
I don't know, man.
If I go to your house with Halo 5, because I own Halo 5 and you don't, I need to put my account in your system or we can't play it. It's straightforward. Everybody's been doing this for a while, and that's very annoying that they don't have it.
Which is bullshit, too.
But it's very annoying that that you can't just do that right now with the Switch, because it's a very portable system. It's designed to almost
What are you saying?
Like,
can't you do?
Okay, so if I own the game, I should be able to pop...
Just use an example, like
Zelda.
Okay.
I should be able to pop that on my memory card, and just bring it to somebody. You know what I mean? To use it on somebody else's system, because I own it. I can be like, I sign it on your system, and just pop my memory card in, and we can play it.
If you mean if you own the game digitally?
Yeah, I'm talking digital purposes.
I mean,
because you can re-download it. You're right. You're right.
You might be able to, because I mean, you can add users, and you could sign in on it. Like, I have three users on my Switch.
Yeah, Japanese, Mexican.
But I don't think you can use it cross-user, but you'd have to re-download it, I'm saying. Like, you could just pop it on, like, if I have a bunch of digital games.
You're saying, like, you want to save it on the memory card, just stick it in any Switch.
And then sign in on their system, and I can just play.
Yeah.
Might as well have a physical copy.
And I have to wait? I can't do that on your system, actually, even if I did have a digital version of it, because I have to unregister it for my Switch. So,
well, you're supposed to be taking the thing itself everywhere you go now.
Yeah, anyway, man.
It's a portable system.
There is the convenience of that, and that's my biggest love of this system right now. It is the concept of it was awesome in my head too, and when I got it here. Yeah. When I got it, like, just being able to play a real a real Zelda game at work today was awesome. Like, I was on my handheld, playing it, and it is easily the best handheld game I've ever played. It could be the best game I've ever played. I can easily make the statement that it's the best handheld game I've ever played, because there's just no experience that's been like this big and looked this good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't run great in the dock, the game, but now we're getting into Zelda a little bit. I just love... Now, tabletop mode on this system is just not going to be used. I can see myself not using that ever. But
what about your friends coming around at work? Like, oh, let's play some.
You can't... The kickstand can't bend back enough, so you can't see it.
Well, so it's totally useless?
Yeah. Unless you get it on, like, an even playing level as you're looking at, then it works. Like, if it's eye level for you, it's fine. But if you put it down on a desk, like a table... I was showing it to my coworkers today, and they couldn't see the screen well. They had to, like, bend down and look at it.
Let's see.
This is part of the issue with this game right now, game and system, is that, you know, you think of these, this portable thing, you take it around with other people, so you think of multiplayer games, but really the only game worth playing so far is Zelda, which is not a multiplayer game. And it's because 1-2 Switch isn't packed in, and it's not good anyway, apparently. That's a big problem, I think, for this whole ecospace of the system, game.
Shovel Knight with my son.
Yeah, the system is not...
Co-op?
Like, that's what the system has a lot of flaws, but it's a lot of fun, too. Like, would I recommend somebody to go get the system right now? No, I wouldn't. I would say wait, let them get all these issues worked out, then pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much any launch, though. I mean...
I would just... No, but even... Like, I would just say that. Like, there's issues... Even frame rate issues in Zelda when you dock it. Like, just give it a little bit of time for them to patch things. Wait. Like, you
right,
can't...
Right, I understand that. I'm not arguing with you on that point, Jim, but I'm saying any... Like, how many things could you honestly say you've recommended day one you need to purchase something?
You're right. I'm not saying that... I'm
like,
just telling
there
people,
is a, there
I'm not
is
comparing
a hidden
it.
Cost. I'm just saying there's a hidden cost... to being an early adopter for everything.
I usually am. I know this.
I have to say, just in the defense of the Switch, and I know it's on Wii U, but Zelda is a quote-unquote masterpiece. It is ridiculously reviewed, the second highest reviewed game ever on Critic.
That's what I'm saying. So
which,
if
Metacritic.
If you're going
you
to
get
play
to play
it,
that on day one, that's pretty impressive.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you don't absolutely have to play Zelda immediately, you don't need to buy the system. Not right now. Yeah. Like, it's just not there.
And that's what I would say, yeah.
It's not like, there yet. We're beta testing this for you. This for you.
Well, yeah, like, I've literally had that conversation with people. They're like, oh, you're getting the Switch. And I'm like, yep. And they're like...
That's part of what I was saying though earlier, though. Like, Zelda isn't... A lot of these features with the Switch are about playing with other people. And Zelda's not a game you can really test that out with.
No, and Zelda's a very lonely game. Like, do you feel lonely in this game? Like, I just feel lonely. Like, I'm...
It's part of my issue with Zelda in general. That's why I never really liked
I've never had this much, like, alone, like, I am, like, well, we'll get into that. Like, there's a whole reason for that, but...
Well, I mean, just to address, like, Mike's point, like, so the thing is, there are games that, so, like, in Japan, they have Disgaea 5, they have I Am Setsuna, which is, like, a Japanese RPG, they have Puyo Pop X Tetris, they have all these other games that we don't have. Like, there's a bunch of actual, like, I think Neo Geo games.
Yeah,
like,
Neo Geo's got a bunch on the
virtual console
well.
Type stuff that we don't have. And the thing is, because it's, you know, region free, you can download these games. If you download, like, I Am Setsuna or Disgaea 5 from the Japanese eShop, there's the English version already included in the game. So all the work has been done.
I thought I Am Setsuna is on the store. It's on the eShop store.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more of Disgaea 5. Like, it's fully in English. So for them, they're not releasing it until, I think, May. Like, that's an active decision by one or both companies to not release it near Zelda because nobody wants to be
here. It will die.
Like, yeah, like we're seeing, like, 90-something percent are probably buying Zelda day one.
What happened to World of Goo and
you guys
the human machine one?
You guys really
those are all supposed to come out.
Yeah, but you guys really expect that the Disgaea 5 to sell like gangbusters in May? I don't.
No, but it's
just
none of those games are going to sell at all.
Just launch it. Just launch it anyways and let people have options to play. That's all. Like, it's not going to sell well anyways. Like, I understand your point,
that's
Tony.
That's not true. I mean, the thing is, in May, I mean, their mentality is that people will probably have been done with Zelda and, hey, there's a new game on the Switch. Like, maybe I could get that. Because nobody's going to take a look at that. Like, nobody's even going to the Switch section because it's like, I want a Switch, I want Zelda. Like, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I've looked in the shop and I kind of want to get Shovel Knight for it, but I don't need it right now. And I'm hoping that they maybe have a sale in like a month or two for it. So...
Or you can get it for $11.50 off the Mexican eShop.
Yes, which I haven't done yet. I understand. I just haven't done it.
Do you get like Japanese and Mexican news in your news section now?
I think so, actually. Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
Sucks. It's like, yeah. It's pretty funny. But I mean, I think Street Fighter is actually available for whatever absurd price Capcom thinks they can get away with.
$40.
$40. Like, look, like 20, I might have gotten it, because I actually really like Street Fighter 2 and 3 and 4, not 5. But for $40, like, what the fuck is up with Capcom? Like, they're so greedy. Like, so greedy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting Mario Kart next month, and I think that's a more traditional, you know, like, local co-op game that, you know,
Is that the end of April? Is it, like, 25th or something like that, right? Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And the other game, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. The other game I downloaded was a demo of Snipper Clips.
Yeah, I got the demo
that is well suited for the local, like, hey, here, take the right half and I'll take the left half.
Yeah, that game is almost like catered to the Joy-Cons being separated. I mean, it does that in the game for you. It's like,
yep.
Cut them out.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. It's actually really interesting because found out that, you know, because it was some really, really indie company that just was demoing this game, I think at GDC a couple of years ago, and Nintendo came up and was like, hey, we really like this game. We'd like to see it happen. And, you know, they did whatever backroom deals that they did. And then once they did the contract or whatever you want to have it in writing, they actually got people from Nintendo Software Technology in North America to actually contribute and help them with, like, the development, which is why they were able to, like, make it day one and stuff like that. So
I saw an interview with those guys, and yeah, they was called like Shape Friends before or something like that. And they did like they were in touch with Nintendo, and they said that they only started working on the Switch version last year.
So
that's cool.
Nintendo actually helped them, obviously, with hardware, with branding and sounds and stuff.
Hardware wise, though, is there anything else we need to add for the impressions? Like, I mean,
I'm a little curious more about what Tony's feels on the hardware side of things.
Because you've been playing a lot more docked, right?
Yeah, I'm playing it docked. So, I mean, Zelda does have frame rate issues. Reading a thread, it seems like it's because they're doing triple V-Sync or something like that.
I read that,
So I guess in layman's terms, what that means is if the game even drops, like, one frame, like, automatically, because it runs at 30, it hits down to 20. So it could drop one frame, it could drop three frames, but because of the triple V-Sync, it goes all the way down to 20. So I'm hoping that can just be updated with a patch. But other than that, it's fine. As far as, like, the actual hardware, like, I really actually like the Joy-Cons more than I thought I would. And what I was trying to tie in, Corey. So, obviously, I love the Pro Controller the best for home play. Like, that's going to be my go-to. Yeah. But I actually really like holding the Joy-Cons individually, like, not paired on the...
See, I haven't really gotten used to that yet. I tried it. I'm like, I can't do this.
I talked about this before, but I love the ability to play... like, just, like, having your, like, your hands, like, in, like, stupid positions, because, like, just with the Wii and the nunchuck, you can just, like, have any type of, like, you know, place. Like, I could just go like this and, like, play like that and stuff like that. I love that, like, untethered. So, like, holding it like that for so long, like, it got me antsy after a while. But I just like just having them two separate. Like, the Joy-Con grip, I'll only bring that around if somebody wants to use that, because...
Thing's garbage.
I like the grip. I like the grip.
I don't know how. I can't do it.
I like the grip.
Yeah, even I was like, Sonia, like my wife was like, I gave it to her, and it's like, how does this feel? And she's like, oh.
I played the first like 5 hours of that game with the grip. Like,
ooh.
That's where it was desyncing.
I would definitely do the untethered. Like, I would definitely do that way before I did the grip again. Yeah. Like, I give the grip to my kid, like my son, and he just plays with that.
Tony is right. The Pro Controller is fantastic, so it doesn't matter. When I go on the go, like my thing for now is what's going to happen for me is I'm going to leave the Joy-Cons in and dock it, and then just use the Pro Controller at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm using.
It's going
to
be
that way. That way you can just pick it up and you don't have to worry about, oh crap, did I charge my Joy-Cons?
Absolutely. And then plug the Pro in when you leave, even though you don't have to, because this battery life is, I haven't even charged it yet since I opened it.
Yeah. But no, overall, I'm really happy. I think it's a very well put together. Like, it feels solid. Like, as strange as it is, I think it's the most non-Nintendo device that they've actually created. Because, I mean, just like, where the fuck did I put it? Like, come on, look at this.
Yeah.
Like, look how shiny... plastic, like, it's just not sexy. You look at this and it's not sexy. Yeah, and thank you for bringing that, because I was like, I was gonna go get it, but it's like big. You just look at that and it's like, damn, like,
yeah.
It's a little smudgy, but I have been using the touchscreen a lot, actually, to type.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been mixing it in too, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't know, the way I've been conditioned with Nintendo and anything that is considered a handheld form factor, I'm already thinking, like, okay, what's the revision going to be? How, like, the revision is going to be sexier. Like, the DS was so ugly. Oh, my God. I don't know if you guys remember the original DS.
Oh, yeah. I had the original DS. Ugly. That fucking thing was nasty.
Fucking
like, it had, like, the raised square part in the middle, like, and then, like, buttoned it down. Like,
yeah.
The whole pyramid action.
And then they went to the DS Lite, which is, you know, pretty sexy. And then, you know, you have the DSi. And then, like, original 3DS, it wasn't, like, not sexy, but it just was, like, eh. And then, you know, they came out with the 3DS XL and the new 3DS and stuff like that. But, like, looking at the Switch, I'm like, honestly, it's weird. Like, I wonder what a second revision would be. Like, I think the most notable is, like, obviously the bezel. That's, like, could be improved. And then
I think they have that just because, like, you're going to be handling it so much. To, like, lift up and out of it.
Exactly. So it's interesting to see what improvements they could be made, but I mean, overall, I'm really happy with it. It feels solid.
I just wish they moved the joystick over a little bit, just not directly below. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is...
it makes sense for the sideways.
The nice thing is, I think, with just the way that Nintendo does its accessories and stuff like that, and how third parties are lined up, I think we'll see, like, custom Joy-Cons within a year.
Yeah.
Whether it's Nintendo official ones for, like, you know, GameCube style or, you know, Super Nintendo style with bigger buttons and, like, you know, maybe a traditional D-pad. Like, I would be all for that. But we'll see. I mean, it's not locked into place. It's just this is what we have at the time. All
right. So, Zelda. Tony, you've played the most of it, so you can kick us off.
Oh, my God. Was it 2 months ago I was playing Final Fantasy 15?
Just before you start, I just want to say that I actually, like, consciously made a decision not to start it yet because of Horizon. But I am super excited to play Zelda just because I'm having so much fun in Horizon that, like, oh, I can't wait to play a game that's, like, not necessarily supposed to be beyond this game, but just because it's a similar, like, you know, you got a character with a bow and arrow and you're in this open world and just all the great things. Like, it's making me more excited to play it because of how good Horizon is, actually.
Right. And, like, that's the thing is, like, I got Horizon in the, like, I had it shipped to my parents' house. So, like, when I came home on Friday, I, you know, had this big box and I thought it was actually something else. So I opened it up and it's the Horizon's, you know, collector's edition. I was like, I'm not even opening this up to look at, like, the statue or anything. Cause, like, and then I'll be tempted to play it. And I want to, the thing is, like, I don't even want to, like, pit them against each other, but I want to just enjoy them both on their own without, you know, pitting one against the other, you know, because obviously Horizon is going to have better, like, graphical fidelity.
It's gorgeous. So it is gorgeous. Yeah. But
So, you know, I just want to be able to enjoy each game on its own merits. But, Zelda is absurd. I haven't been absorbed into a game in a very long time like that. Like, I think Final Fantasy 15, there was one day where I played it a lot, and I was like, yeah, I'm really liking this game, because it was the first half. And that repeated off. But, like, I remember... And the thing is, like, it's crazy, because you could just do so much stuff in Zelda, and, like, there's no real indication of, like, how much progression you're making. You're just like, oh, I'm going to go over here. And it's like, oh, look, there's a town. It's like, okay, I'll just do these quests in this town and just talk to these people. And the thing is, what I really love is that they really, I'm trying to think of what to say, they really reinvented the wheel there. So Skyward Sword, there was, like, a lot of hand-holding. I don't know if you guys remember me talk, but, like, the sidekick in that game.
There's been there's been a lot of that for a little while in Zelda. It's gotten stronger and stronger hand-holding as the series has gone in.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, Ocarina of Time, just because it's, like, the first 3D Zelda, you know, you had Navi, and yeah, I mean, she was kind of annoying. It was never, like, overbearing. Midna, I didn't mind, because she was kind of
I don't know. Sexy bitch. I don't know. Link Listen was constantly...
Hey, listen!
That was kind of annoying. But anyways,
right, but it wasn't like she just, like, ruined puzzles for you. Like, no, there was times in Skyward Sword where, like, I actively had to, like, not push the button to listen to Fi, because I remember early on in the game, she's like, you need to do this. I'm like... Okay, like, thanks. I could fucking figure this out on my own, bitch. Like, I have a brain. So for this, like, there's none of that. It's just kind of like, here you go. Enjoy the open world. And you're just like, oh, crap. Like, I felt kind of, and then maybe I'm losing credibility here, but, like, I kind of felt stupid because I was like, how do I cook things? Like, I stood in front of this fire.
I died in the cold weather, like, five times. And I'm like, what the fuck? Because I didn't even know where that old man's hut was. I had no idea there was a hut. I just went in there, and then I'm like, then I'm reading the journal. No, I'm reading the peppers, and I'm like, I can cook these? And I'm like, what the fuck do I cook these things? So that took me a while to figure out how to cook. It's a process. Yeah. It's a process of trial and error. This game, I can rant about this game for an hour about the trial and error. This game is fucking brutal, and I've never been so frustrated with getting killed and then still keep coming back. Like, I talk about how I hate dying in games. I hate that. Like, I hate games that make you die to learn. This game, for some reason, I got angry. I climbed this fucking mountain. I climbed a mountain. Like, I can tell you that you fucking... Corey, you're talking about you can go anywhere in Horizon? No, no, no. You can go anywhere in Zelda. Like, you can go anywhere.
Well, both you can go anywhere.
If you've got the stamp... Like, no, you can climb top of mountains. You can't climb top of the mountains. You can climb.
I've climbed top of a mountain.
Every mountain.
So far, I've been everywhere I've been trying to go to. I've been able to get there, but whatever.
Trying so hard not to compare them, but then it's just gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both great games, but yeah. So you can climb a mountain, Jim.
Yeah,
you climbed a mountain.
Climb the mountain. Ran into some guardians. Fuck them. Died. The checkpoint, because I was climbing a place that I probably shouldn't have been climbing through, was a little further back, so I did it again. Climbed up, and I'm like, how do I get past these guardians? Okay. So I'm like, I'm going to sneak through this way. You can't fucking sneak past these things. They're too fucking good. So I got killed again. I must have died like six times there. And then I finally just gave up and went around the mountain. And then that worked better.
There you go.
That worked better. So...
The beauty of it to me is that just like, you see something, you're like, okay, like, I could like just go in and like try to fight these enemies. And like, yeah, the weaker, Boko Goblins or whatever they're called, you know, no big deal. But like, as you start to fight those other enemies, like those guardians, like you just can't do that. So you really have to think like creatively and outside the box. Like, there was this one genius moment where like, I'm just like, okay, there's a camp over here. And, I took, what was it? It was storming out. So there was a metal door that had like fallen off. So I used the magnet ability to, you know, control it like you're fucking Magneto. And I started like waving it like back and forth towards them. And like, you could see like, the crackling of, you know, kinetic energy just on the door, and then lightning just strikes it. And I had it near the enemies, and they just like all died in like an instant.
The other part.
I was like,
the unforgiving part. Like, I am going through this world. And then I, just before I came on, I went back to the Great Plateau, 'cause I knew about the old hut. Yeah. So I had to go there and get that outfit. So you can get the cold outfit. So, little minor stuff here, Corey. I'm sorry, just minor things. No story spoilers or anything like that. But, like, I get back there, and all hell breaks loose. It's storming outside. I got fucking struck by lightning and died. I'm like, what the fuck? So then, as I'm sitting there, I get this, like, I see this red moon, and I get this message from, it's unbelievable. And, like, the enemies get harder. They just got harder. I'm like, I'm fucking getting like destroyed here, and they got harder from something that happened.
Yeah. I think that what people are enjoying the most is like the discovery.
It's like
can happen in
my
this game.
Experience,
and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, my experience is not going to be your experience. It's going to be
exactly
different.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Like, we talk about like all these open world games, and like I know the media has like really gone total like backing this game and stuff like that. And I want to finish it before I, you know, make any consensus, but like, the beauty of it is that, like, you play it and you are going to have a drastically different experience as opposed to, like, you know, Fallout 4. It's like, I'm just using Fallout 4 because that was, like, the last one I think we all played. You didn't play? Sorry. You did.
I thought you did, yeah.
No. I don't care about it.
It's like, you can go, like, to different places in different orders, but the thing is, like, for the most part, you're going to have the same experience because, like, oh, you have to fight this boss mob name and, you know, whatever. It's just like, you might do it out of order, you might go north and then south or whatever, but like this, like, you are literally just given the freedom to anything. And just the nature of the discovery, which you're talking about, Corey, is just like, that's what keeps me going, like, all the time. That's why it's hard for me to put the game down, because I'm just like, let me just, you know, explore this other region, this one section mm-hmm. of the map. And then I'll look, and there's always – and this is kind of like why I like Nintendo games, because they kind of tease you with something that for most people you're like, you wouldn't even think about it. I'll give you an instance. I was passing by this one lake, this, like, pond. It wasn't even that big. And there was these, like, little, I don't know, lily pads or something floating on the top. And they were in the form of a circle. And I was like, that's really weird. That kind of seems, like, conspicuous for some reason. And I was like, all right, well, let me just see if it's, like, I threw a bomb in there at first. Nothing happened. And I was like, all right, let me just try shooting with the arrow. Nothing happened. I was like, all right. I was like, and then I look up, and there's this cliff, like, this little cliff mountain thing that's over it. So I'm like, all right. So I started climbing on top of it, looked down, and like the you know, circle was just below me. So I dove down, landed inside of it, and it did, you know, the little secret thing. I got something. I'm not going to say what it was, but I was like, that's just like it just rewards you discovering places. And like, the thing is, like, I just do that every time I'm in a new area. I climb to like the top, the highest point or the highest peak, and just like look around. It's like, all right, that seems interesting, or that seems,
yeah,
like,
well,
something over
while there is a map in this game, they don't mark anything. Nobody, it's not marked at all. You have to discover the entire area. Like, it's open. Yeah. You can see it on your map. You can see, like, the ridges and the like the roads, but you don't have any idea what's in between that stuff. Like, shrines are the biggest thing in this game, and there's 120 of them, I think. And yeah, I've done 10.
Yeah.
So.
How many hours have you put in, Tony? Jim said he did 8 hours,
yeah, about eight.
Or so.
I'm about 8, maybe 7.
I would roughly say about 20.
Yeah, I mean, I've been splitting
like,
time.
I took
with
Friday
Horizon,
off, so that's all I did, and that's literally all I did half of Saturday, and then I did other adult stuff on Saturday. And I really limited myself yesterday because I was like, I don't want to burn through this game. I want to
enjoy.
But it's
crazy. Sounds. I mean, that's the thing. Like I was saying, like. Because I'm having so much fun in Horizon, like I'm so excited to go into this game and just like experience and like the things I've like heard and stuff and read, and like I haven't really read too much, but a couple of things I've heard is just the one guy that I was listening to, because like I listened to the Giant Bomb podcast and stuff, and he was talking.
I listened to that one too.
Yeah, and they just talk about how the one guy who reviewed it, Dan Reichert, I think. He's on the East Coast Bombcast, whatever that's called, the Beastcast, I think. He's just saying how he like. Just enjoyed going and doing like whatever, and the like just joy of experiencing this world and learning that you can do things or not do things, like how you should do things. And it's really not how you should do things, because it's just do whatever you want to do, and like, and just do it and just enjoy this world and go into it. And he's like, yeah, it really brought him back to the time, you know, of experiencing video games for the first time.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it does so well. Just to loop back earlier in the podcast, I think Jim, or Mike, one of you two was talking about like how it feels weird when, you know, you're in a game. I think you guys were talking about Horizon at the time. I don't want to draw a comparison, but it's just you said something, that example where you're like, you have this like, you know, I need to do shit. I need to get shit done. Mm-hmm. But like you have an NPC that's like, oh, can you find my, well, I think you said ring or some bullshit.
Yeah.
I know, like, the exact side quest he's talking about.
I did that side quest, by the way.
It coincides with your drop rate of meat.
I mean, I accidentally ran into that side quest. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do this.
Yeah, I think there's a point in the story that you kind of go through that area. So I was like, I'll do this then. But yeah, the things that kind of like don't make sense for that world too is what I think Mike was saying, where like, why would this character know this? Like, they shouldn't know something like this. So
right. What I was getting there, the side quests in Zelda are, in my opinion, pretty well done, because the thing is, like, the characters, either you talk to them and they'll just mention something like, oh, man, like, they'll be like, oh, my back hurts. I just came from, you know, wherever region. I was carrying a load of, you know, meat or something like that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I lost it. It sucks. But then you get a quest that says, hey, like, if, you know, blah, 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 mentioned that they were in this region and, you know, had an accident. You might want to investigate that area or something like that. But that could be, like, so far away from where you actually are. And, like, to actually do that, if you're, like, the type that does every single quest at once, I think it'd be almost overwhelming, because, like, you're literally all over the map. But the thing is, when you do the quest and you come back, the guy will be like, you actually took the time to do this? Like, okay, like, thanks, but, you know, not directly like that, but they're like, wow, thanks for helping me out, hero, or, you know, something like that. And it's just like, didn't think you, you know, had to do stuff. Like, there's this one quest right now I have where some dude's like, yeah, I lost my wife, so if you just stumble upon her, that'd be great. I'm just like, awkward, but okay, totally. But yeah, it just, so it's crazy.
The drive for me is not more of the exploration in this game. Well, that's really cool, don't get me wrong. I haven't done any dungeons yet. I've done a lot of shrines, and I'm actually in the Zora area, you know, just over there. I'm all the way over there.
I think you should be, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I'm rushing ahead, because I'm doing side quests sort of as I get them, but, like, not really going out of my way, because you're going out of your way to get to these main quests. I mean, it is far. This is a big land. But for me, it's like trying to get better. When I die, it frustrates me to the point where I want to be better and kill that thing. So, you know, I went out, and for the first time ever, I have now used amiibos.
Ooh, you actually bought amiibo?
I bought not just one, not just two, but I bought three amiibos.
Did you get the Guardian?
No, because that was $20. So I got these three amiibos because it was buy two, get one free at Target. So I did that. And ooh, yeah.
You bought, them for use instead of collection?
Yeah, no, I opened them up. Yeah, even my girlfriend was like, you're opening these? And I'm like, yeah. So, you know what's funny is I did read online about the Zelda for the Smash Brothers, the Link for Zelda, and I'm not opening it yet until, I haven't even found a stable yet. I have not found a stable. Yeah.
Wait.
Yes, I told you where I'm at, and I haven't found a stable yet.
Dude, you literally had to, like, run by one to get to...
No, because I don't...
Tony,
where I
the
go,
first, the
where
first
I go,
village,
I don't need
you
roads.
Had to walk by it.
Nope, where I go, I don't need roads.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't have a stable yet, so I have to find one.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that. What do the amiibos do? Does it make sense to get amiibos for certain things? Like, I was gonna ask you about the Shovel Knight amiibo, actually, Tony. Which
so they give you in this game, it's daily items, except for the Link Smash Brothers one. That's a one time drop of a special mount.
And you can't use these outside inside the box, right?
No, yeah, because they have this metal thing underneath that prevents it. So. God forbid they let you use
just bring your Switch and just go to Target. It's like, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, yeah. So that's true. Yeah. Good point. It's cool. I got some really cool weapons, which has helped me kill things that are pretty strong because they'll kill me in one hit, but I can actually kill them as long as I go perfect on them. And this game is all about being perfect. Those guardians, apparently you need like perfect timing for the shield bash, the parry, or you really can't kill those things.
I did that once. All I felt like the man. I was like, fuck you!
Was it Giant Bomb?
Somebody, like eight times.
Oh no! Somebody's like, we are 3/4 through this game, and it's still a trial to do that. Like, it is still not perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's cool.
But to answer Corey's question real quick, so the different amiibos do different things. So Smash Brother Links gives you the Epona mount from Ocarina of Time, and okay. She's a max stat out horse. So like, she's literally like the fastest and most stamina you can get in the game.
You have to be near stable when you get her, or you lose her. So just remember that.
Right. What did I do? I scanned Ocarina Link from the 30th anniversary line, and you can get outfits from him. If you scan Sheik from the Smash Brothers line, you can get a Sheik outfit.
I have Sheik. Woohoo!
Yeah. So what's cool is I didn't know this.
My amiibos are good.
The Sheik outfit is actually because it's like a ninja thing. It actually increases your stealth, like your sneak ability.
Wow! Because I've done it. I've gone to camps at night to just get the chest. You just sneak through, but it takes you forever. I wonder if that would help.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
there's,
I was watching.
There's so many ways to play this game. It's fantastic.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I was watching one of my favorite streamers. He was streaming this game, and he was like, "Yep, I'm just doing stealth today." Like he equipped like the sneak suit, ate like a buff that gave him like plus sneak. And he's just going around like, what the, like these guys, like he's literally like just brushing up against their asses and they're not doing anything. I'm like, that's absurd. Like, and I would have never thought about that because like, I'm just like, I'll just fight people and stuff like that. But like, it's like, turn into Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, cooking is very important, but there are no recipes. Like, you just have to figure them out yourself, really.
That's my one.
Unless you're given the item, then you can read it, but you still have to write it down.
Yeah. So that's my one gripe. I wish there was a recipe book in the game that like, once you figured something out, you could look it up.
So
Final Fantasy 15.
Yes.
Just giving full disclosure here, and I'm not using it for the game, but I am probably using it for recipes. I may have gone out and picked up the guide. No, because like you're right. That's the big gripe. And like I want
how much did that cost?
Hardcover?
No. I picked up the regular for $16. $16. So it's free.
So
I have credit. It's okay.
So Jim, I want to mention one thing. It's not really a spoiler, but it's one of those things where like you notice it's kind of like mind blowing. So I hope it doesn't detract from your experience, Corey. But if you go,
wait.
I can't even say it because Jim hasn't gone to one of these yet.
Stable? Okay. A stable?
Gotcha.
Yeah. But there are things in the game where like unless you actually take the time to look and like explore your environments, just I'm just saying that vaguely. Like, you're not going to catch on to things. Like, it's not like, you know, older Zelda games where it's like they just spell things out for you and you have to, like...
Did you run into a giant Cyclops?
Yes.
Okay. I did too, and I was afraid at first. And I'm like, wait, I can totally take this guy. I thought he was
a fucked that. Yeah. I fucked that dude up so bad.
But that was, like, so random. I'm climbing a mountain, and I'm, like, running from the Guardians, and then I fall down. I'm like, what's this thing over here? So I went over here, and I'm like... Oh shit!
There was a gif of like one of the enemies just picking up a different enemy and throwing at Zelda.
Yeah,
Link.
At Link. Don't make that fucking mistake, Corey.
Oh my god!
You called him Zelda. All right.
Rookie. Oh. All
right. Jeez. We'll talk more about the Legend of Zelda and Link in the next. I think we've covered this enough for today.
Yeah.
So impressions are very good so far. We'll have another more full impressions next week of the Switch. And then ongoing talk about, is it improving? What do they have to do to get additional features? What we're looking forward to? We'll add that in. Mike.
And at some point, we'll have the balls to have a direct argument, which is better, Horizon or Legend of Zelda.
I've been pretty critical of the Switch launch. I have been. Like, I've talked about the negatives quite a bit. I've even talked about my original messaging about how close these two are. And... it's not close in my mind anymore, and I'm not going to say which one's the winner at this point, but I will say that there's...
He is a Dark Souls fan now.
There's less gripes.
That's all.
There's less gripes with another game than I had with the other one, so...
Jim is going to platinum Dark Souls, basically.
There's no platinum. There's all no right. trophies. There's no trophies in the Switch. Ah. Oh, I'm sorry. I might have to give Dark Souls... I might have to give Bloodborne and Dark Souls a try at some point. That's all I'm going to say now.
Just because you brought it up, Corey, one of my, I don't know, like stupid internet meme comics that is actually kind of relevant because of the timing is where this one where it's like, it's drawn in a way that's reminiscent of like NES Link, like how he's kind of drawn like back in the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he's like a brown long sleeve shirt and a green tunic. And like he has this fairy and, you know, this is a comic booky style drawn. And it's like Navi's like saying, hey, and Link's like, yeah, let's go on an adventure. And he sees a skeleton. He points out his sword, like, let's get that enemy. And he goes up and, like, starts to fight with that enemy. And the skeleton just, like, literally impales Link. And the last panel is the skeleton getting real close to Link's, like, crying, wounded face, going, this is Dark Souls, bitch. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, but in this game, it totally makes sense, dude. Yeah. Like, so
and,
many
and
things.
And do not get attached to a weapon.
Oh, dude, so many things were like, I'm just like, oh yeah, I could take this enemy on. It was like, I get hit, and I'm like, wow, that fucked me up. Like, yep. Fuck me up, fam. Like,
that's it. Holy fuck. Yeah, that is it. Like, oh.
Yeah, but so. The weapon thing, I hear that a lot. Is that like a welcome thing, or is it annoying?
I kind of would not like it as much. That's probably one negative for me. But it's cool. Like, it's nice at first, but it gets tedious. Like, I like having a weapon.
What does it mean for the Master Sword?
I know what it means for the Master Sword, but
oh.
Okay. You can go through this game. You can go through this game. No, you can just go through this game without ever discovering the Master Sword, from what I understand. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, but just to comment on what Mike asked. So I like the inclusion of it because it makes it very dynamic. You always have to kind of like adapt to your surroundings. And it's very rare that you'll ever be in a situation where you don't have any type of weapon. But it's what you have equipped and like what you have with you, and you're like, because some weapons aren't always like fit to fight every type of enemy. Like, yeah, fighting fast enemies, a big two-handed slow weapon is not a good choice.
I have learned that so many fucking times.
I do wish.
Sounds like you haven't learned that.
No, now I have.
Yeah. I do wish the weapons had a bit more durability though. Like, yeah. Some of them literally, it's just like you pick up one enemy. It's like, yep, this is like pretty much useless now. But I will say the one satisfying thing is when it's about to break, like it'll tell you like your thing is like very weak. And you could throw that enemy and throw an enemy and it's a guaranteed critical hit. And it is so satisfying when you just nail an enemy in the head with one of your weapons and literally it shatters like upon impact. And you just feel like the rumble is just like, yeah, I fucked that guy. Like, real bad.
It sounds kind of similar in function to how the limited materials for your ammo and stuff in Horizon is actually.
It is similar. The scavenging for resources is very similar in both games. It is. I'm going back and forth, so it is very similar in terms of scavenging and also slots and, you know, keeping that together.
Yeah, you said the resource management earlier in podcast.
All right. Let's wrap this up, guys. Let's wrap it up.
Well, I was just going to ask, Mike, are you going to play this game on Wii U, Mike?
Yeah, my brother is a big fan of this, and he has the Wii U at the moment, so I know he's going to get it. I might watch him play it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to jump in. Maybe in the distant future, but it'll be within my grasp if I wanted it. In the future, I would say that. But
and you're a bigger fan of open world games than me. Like, and I'm playing this game.
Yes, I know, but I've never been a big fan of Zelda. I remember Ocarina of Time. I found it like tedious and annoying. I'm like, why don't I have a sword yet? Like, why do I have to
pay
this guy off to open a bridge forever?
I can easily make the statement. That. Just take everything you know about Zelda and forget about it. There's the only thing that's the same in this game is you can parry left and right and jump backwards.
It's
that different from a Zelda game, and I've played all of them.
But you haven't been in a dungeon yet, and that seems like the meat of these types of games, to be honest.
They've always been dungeon-based.
Traditional games, yeah.
Yeah, this is not like that anymore. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't even have to go to a dungeon throughout this entire story.
You don't have to?
Well, I think I'm about to find that out, but we'll find out soon.
Somebody actually beat the game over the weekend, a speedrunner. In 90 minutes.
You can go right to Hyrule and fight Ganon if you'd like in the beginning of this game. Whatever. You can just do that if you'd like, but... They say do not do that. In fact, the words are, I would suggest against this, but you can go there now if you'd like to. That's exactly what they say to you.
Interesting.
Oh, man.
It's like the game's taunting you. It's like, go ahead, give it a shot.
So. Yeah, you need to get ready. Like, they remind you. Like, the major character's like, yeah, you should probably do these things first.
Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap up the episode 334. Thanks for tuning in.
What number?
334. I hope you guys enjoyed the Switch impressions. We'll have more. If you have any comments or questions about it, write us podcast@lightinggeek.net. Follow us on Twitter. Comment on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know what you think. Any improvements you'd like to make or any comments, questions about the game we can answer. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week.
Peace.